Chapter 43. Follows the fortunes of Miss Nickleby. It was with a heavy heart, and many sad forebodings which no effort could banish, that Kate Nickleby, on the morning appointed for the commencement of her engagement with Madame Mantalini, left the city when its clocks yet wanted a quarter of an hour of eight, and threaded her way alone, amid the noise and bustle of the streets, towards the west end of London. At this early hour many sickly girls, whose business, like that of the poor worm, is to produce, with patient toil, the finery that bedecks the thoughtless and luxurious, traverse our streets, making towards the scene of their daily labor, and catching, as if by stealth, in their hurried walk, the only gasp of wholesome air and glimpse of sunlight which cheer their monotonous existence during the long train of hours that make a working day. As she drew nigh to the more fashionable quarter of the town, Kate marked many of this class as they passed by, hurrying like herself to their painful occupation, and saw, in their unhealthy looks and feeble gait, but too clear an evidence that her misgivings were not wholly groundless. She arrived at Madame Mantalini's some minutes before the appointed hour, and after walking a few times up and down, in the hope that some other female might arrive and spare her the embarrassment of stating her business to the servant, knocked timidly at the door, which, after some delay, was opened by the footman, who had been putting on his striped jacket as he came upstairs, and was now intent on fastening his apron. "Is Madame Mantalini in?" faltered Kate. "Not often out at this time, miss," replied the man in a tone which rendered "miss" something more offensive than "my dear." "Can I see her?" asked Kate. "Eh?" replied the man, holding the door in his hand, and honoring the inquirer with a stare and a broad grin. "Lord, no. I came by her own appointment," said Kate. I am to be employed here." "Oh, you should have rung the worker's bell," said the footman, touching the handle of one in the doorpost. "Let me see, though, I forgot Miss Nickleby, is it?"
"Yes," replied Kate.
"Here to walk upstairs then, please," said the man. "Madame Mantalini wants to see you this way. Take care of these things on the floor," cautioning her, in these terms, not to trip over a heterogeneous litter of pastry cooks' trays, lamps, waiters full of glasses, and piles of rout seats which were strewn about the hall, plainly bespeaking a late party on the previous night. The man led the way to the second story, and ushered Kate into a back room, communicating by folding doors with the apartment in which she had first seen the mistress of the establishment. "If you'll wait here a minute," said the man, "I'll tell her presently." Having made this promise with much affability, he retired and left Kate alone. There was not much to amuse in the room, of which the most attractive feature was a half-length portrait in oil of Mr. Mantalini, whom the artist had depicted scratching his head in an easy manner, and thus displaying to advantage a diamond ring, the gift of Madame Mantalini before her marriage. There was, however, the sound of voices in conversation in the next room, and as the conversation was loud, and the partition thin, Kate could not help discovering that they belonged to Mr. and Mrs. Mantalini. "If you will be odiously, demnebly, outrageously jealous, my soul," said Mr. Mantalini, "you will be very miserable, horrid miserable, damnition miserable." And then, there was a sound as though Mr. Mantalini were sipping his coffee. "I am miserable," returned Madame Mantalini, evidently pouting. "Then you are an ungrateful, unworthy, demmed unthankful little fairy," said Mr. Mantalini. "I am not," returned Madame, with a sob. "Do not put itself out of humor," said Mr. Mantalini, breaking an egg. "It is a pretty, bewitching little demmed countenance, and it should not be out of humor, for it spoils its loveliness, and makes it cross and gloomy like a frightful, naughty, demmed hobgoblin.
Apostrophe, I am not to be brought round in that way, always, apostrophe rejoined Madam, sulkily. It shall be brought round in any way it likes best, and not brought round at all, if it likes that better, apostrophe retorted Mr. Mantalini, with his egg spoon in his mouth. It's very easy to talk, apostrophe said Mrs. Mantalini. Not so easy when one is eating a Domitian egg, apostrophe replied Mr. Mantalini, for the yolk runs down the waistcoat, and yolk of egg does not match any waistcoat, but a yellow waistcoat, damn it. Apostrophe, you were flirting with her during the whole night, apostrophe said Madame Mantalini, apparently desirous to lead the conversation back to the point from which it had strayed. No, no, my life. Apostrophe, you were, apostrophe said Madame, I had my eye upon you all the time. Apostrophe, bless the little winking twinkling eye, was it on me all the time? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mantalini, in a sort of lazy rapture. Oh, damn it. Apostrophe, and I say once more, apostrophe resumed Madame, that you ought not to waltz with anybody but your own wife. And I will not bear it, Mantalini, if I take poison first. Apostrophe, she will not take poison, and have horrid pains, will she? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mantalini, who, by the altered sound of his voice, seemed to have moved his chair, and taken up his position nearer to his wife. She will not take poison, because she had a damned fine husband who might have married two countesses, and a dowager apostrophe, two countesses, apostrophe interposed Madam. You told me one before. Apostrophe, two. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mantalini. Two damned fine women, real countesses and splendid fortunes, damn it. Apostrophe, and why didn't you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Madam, playfully. Why didn't I? Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied her husband. Had I not seen, at a morning concert, the damnedest little fascinator in all the world, and while that little fascinator is my wife, may not all the countesses and dowagers in England be apostrophe, Mr. Mantalini did not finish the sentence, but he gave Madame Mantalini a very loud kiss, which Madame Mantalini returned. After which, there seemed to be some more kissing mixed up with the progress of the breakfast. And what about the cash, my existence's jewel? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mantalini, when these endearments ceased. How much have we in hand? Apostrophe, very little indeed, apostrophe replied Madam. We must have some more, apostrophe said Mantalini. We must have some discount out of old Nickleby, to carry on the war with, damn it. Apostrophe, you can't want any more just now, apostrophe said Madam coaxingly. My life and soul, apostrophe returned her husband, there is a horse for sale at Scrubs, which it would be a sin, and a crime to lose going, my senses joy, for nothing. Apostrophe, for nothing, apostrophe cried Madam, I am glad of that. Apostrophe, for actually nothing, apostrophe replied Mantalini. 100 guineas down will buy him, mane, and crest, and legs, and tail, all of the damnedest beauty. I will ride him in the park before the very chariots of the rejected countesses. The damned old dowager will faint with grief and rage. The other two will say, he is married, he has made away with himself, it is a damned thing, it is all up. They will hate each other damnably, and wish you dead and buried. Ha, ha, damn it. Apostrophe, Madame Mantalini's prudence, if she had any, was not proof against these triumphal pictures. After a little jingling of keys, she observed that she would see what her desk contained, and rising for that purpose, opened the folding door, and walked into the room where Kate was seated. Dear me, child! Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Madame Mantalini, recoiling in surprise. How came you here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, child. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mantalini, hurrying in. How came I? Oh, damn it, how do you do? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I have been waiting here some time, ma'am, apostrophe said Kate, addressing Madame Mantalini. The servant must have forgotten to let you know that I was here, I think. Apostrophe, you really must see to that man. Apostrophe, said Madam, turning to her husband. He forgets everything. Apostrophe, I will twist his damn nose off his countenance for leaving such a very pretty creature all alone by herself. Apostrophe, said her husband. Mantellini, apostrophe, cried Madam, you forget yourself. Apostrophe, I don't forget you, my soul, and never shall, and never can, apostrophe, said Mantellini, kissing his wife's hand, and grimacing aside, to Miss Nickleby, who turned away. Appeased by this compliment, the lady of the business took some papers from her desk which she handed over to Mr. Mantellini, who received them with great delight. She then requested Kate to follow her, and after several feints on the part of Mr. Mantellini, to attract the young lady's attention, they went away, leaving that gentleman extended at full length on the sofa, with his heels in the air, and a newspaper in his hand. Madame Mantellini led the way down a flight of stairs, and through a passage, to a large room at the back of the premises, where were a number of young women employed in sewing, cutting out, making up, altering, and various other processes known only to those who are cunning in the arts of millinery and dressmaking. It was a close room with a skylight, and as dull and quiet as a room need be. On Madame Mantellini calling aloud for Miss Knagg, a short, bustling, overdressed female, full of importance, presented herself, and all the young ladies suspending their operations for the moment, whispered to each other sundry criticisms upon the make and texture of Miss Nickleby's dress, her complexion, cast of features, and personal appearance, with as much good breeding as could have been displayed by the very best society in a crowded ballroom. Oh, Miss Knagg, apostrophe, said Madame Mantellini, this is the young person I spoke to you about. Apostrophe, Miss Knagg bestowed a reverential smile upon Madame Mantellini, which she dexterously transformed into a gracious one for Kate, and said that certainly, although it was a great deal of trouble to have young people who were wholly unused to the business, still, she was sure the young person would try to do her best, impressed with which conviction she, Miss Knagg, felt an interest in her already. I think that, for the present at all events, it will be better for Miss Nickleby to come into the showroom with you and try things on for people, apostrophe, said Madame Mantellini. She will not be able for the present to be of much use in any other way, and her appearance will, apostrophe, suit very well with mine, Madame Mantellini, apostrophe, interrupted Miss Knagg. So it will. And to be sure, I might have known that you would not be long in finding that out, for you have so much taste in all those matters, that really, as I often say to the young ladies, I do not know how, when, or where, you possibly could have acquired all you know. Miss Nickleby and I are quite a pair, Madame Mantellini, only I am a little darker than Miss Nickleby, and I think my foot may be a little smaller. Miss Nickleby, I am sure, will not be offended at my saying that, when she hears that our family always have been celebrated for small feet ever since our family had any feet at all. Indeed, I think I had an uncle once, Madame Mantellini, who lived in Cheltenham, and had a most excellent business as a tobacconist, who had such small feet that they were no bigger than those which are usually joined to wooden legs, the most symmetrical feet, Madame Mantellini, that even you can imagine. Apostrophe, they must have had something of the appearance of club feet, Miss Knagg, apostrophe, said Madame. Well now, that is so like you, apostrophe, returned Miss Knagg. Ha, ha, ha. Of club feet. Oh, very good. As I often remark to the young ladies, well, I must say, and I do not care who knows it, of all the ready humor I ever heard anywhere, and I have heard a good deal. For when my dear brother was alive, I kept house for him, Miss Nickleby. We had to supper once a week, two or three young men, highly celebrated in those days for their humor, Madame Mantellini, of all the ready humor, I say to the young ladies, I ever heard, Madame Mantellini's is the most remarkable. It is so gentle, so sarcastic, and yet so good-natured, as I was observing to Miss Simmons only this morning, that how, or when, or by what means she acquired it, is to me a mystery indeed. Apostrophe, here Miss Nag paused to take breath, and while she pauses it may be observed, not that she was marvelously loquacious, and marvelously deferential to Madame Mantalini, since these are facts which require no comment, but that every now and then, she was accustomed, in the torrent of her discourse, to introduce a loud, shrill, clear hem. Apostrophe apostrophe the import and meaning of which, was variously interpreted by her acquaintance, some holding that Miss Nag dealt in exaggeration, and introduced the monosyllable, when any fresh invention was in course of coinage in her brain. Others, that when she wanted a word, she threw it into guy in time, and prevent anybody else from striking into the conversation. It may be further remarked, that Miss Nag still aimed at youth, although she had shot beyond it, years ago, and that she was weak and vain, and one of those people who are best described by the axiom, that you may trust them as far as you can see them, and no farther. You'll take care that Miss Nickleby understands her hours, and so forth, apostrophe said Madame Mantalini, and so I'll leave her with you. You will not forget my directions, Miss Nag? Apostrophe apostrophe, Miss Nag of course replied, that to forget anything Madame Mantalini had directed, was a moral impossibility, and that lady, dispensing a general good morning among her assistants, sailed away. Charming creature, isn't she, Miss Nickleby? Apostrophe apostrophe said Miss Nag, rubbing her hands together. I have seen very little of her, apostrophe said Kate. I hardly know yet. Apostrophe, have you seen Mr. Mantalini? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Miss Nag. Yes, I have seen him twice. Apostrophe, isn't he a charming creature? Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.